Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's up, folks? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive. I am Lifetime Longhorn Rod Davis, joined by fellow Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel, but also the coach. I don't do him justice, but I'll try my best. Former high school football coach at Capel, Brownwood, Belton, Rotan, Vernon. Also, college football player at Abilene Christian. Coach there as well in multiple stints. 5 seasons on the staff at the University of Texas in different roles. Had different responsibilities there. I can't name them all. I don't have the time or the capacity to do that. But also, he is a renaissance man because now you can find his work at ShipleyRanches.com. It's Coach Bob Shipley, too. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
What's up?
Yeah.
Fired up after that spring game. That's what I am.
They ain't no doubt about it. And I must admit this. Coach Shipley got more Twitter followers than all of us. We you know what I mean? So, Coach, anytime we think we cooler than Coach, that still ain't the case. He knows more ball than us, and he's cooler than us on social media. He's proven. All right. Yeah, guys, we got a lot to get into. Everybody's excited about the spring game. We will talk Texas spring football. So much to discuss. We got a mini draft as well. There's a mini draft on today's show. There's a mini draft. We're always pumped up. We'll have that coming up a little bit later on. We got tons of – you see, Coach already excited. Coach already excited about the mini draft. Coach just wants to compete. That's all it is. You got to get coaches in a competitive spirit. That's all you got to get going. So we'll get into that. All of your questions, please throw them out there. Super chats, they jump to the front of the line. They'll disrupt the show at any time. So if you got something really important, super chat us up, and we'll answer it ASAP. But all your questions, we'll answer as many of them as we can. But we're going to start with the transfer portal news. The transfer portal giveth, and it taketh away. And right now, it's given. Of SCB, 11 years ago today, back, brought Coach Shipley on his staff. Look at my, hey, anniversary. How about that?
Chris, I tell you what, Chris, that dude is on top of things.
Hey, he is.
I had no idea. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't even tell you, not only the day, I couldn't even tell you the month. I can barely tell you the year.
I didn't even know that. See, CB will let you know about some things you didn't know about yourself. CB found my one. He found my Wonderlic score. I didn't want that out there. CB found it. CB, pump that down.
I want to know what that was.
Nah, we don't need CB. Don't be throwing it out there. CB will throw it out there. Wonderlic score. CB will find some stuff out about you. Yeah, CB, Facebook memories. Hey. Oh, man, CB's on top of it. We appreciate it. CB's known. All you got to do is say CB. Most Longhorn fans, they know who you're talking about. So, and we appreciate my man CB joining us, man. We feel honored, no doubt. All right. But let's get to it. That's good to see with CJ, our CJ, who's always in the know, especially when it comes to talent acquisition. That's what I call it now because transfer portal and recruiting. But Bill Norton, Texas, it was interesting. Sark, after the spring game, Texas, he said, hey, man, we need more big humans on the defensive line. We need more depth. Well, the day after the spring game, they got a big human in Bill Norton.
Yeah, absolutely. Sarkisian mentioned it right after the spring game. We just don't have enough bodies. And for Texas, who's expecting to play anywhere from 12 to 15 games potentially in 2024, you're going to need those big bodies, especially early in the season in the heat in Austin. We've all talked about it. You know, sometimes when Texas plays those early season games inside of DKR, it gets – scorching hot, you know, Alabama, LSU, some of those big games in the past, it gets blistering. So to be able to have those bodies certainly goes a long way to building that depth and building that, you know, easily accessible rotation that we expect to see Texas deploy once again in 2024. Bill Norton adds to that. You know, he's a 6'6", 325-pound guy out of Arizona who was a part of a top 25 rush defense a year ago for the Wildcats, who finished top 15 in the country. They had a very good year a year ago. A big body, spent his first four seasons at Georgia. So he's played against some big-time offensive linemen for 4 years before spending a year at Arizona a year ago. Saw his most time on the field last year as well. What is Texas getting? A guy that plays over the nose more so than not. 170 snaps over the A gap a year ago, 179 over the B. Filters in and out of that spot very well. Not a plus-plus athlete like we saw with Byron Murphy and Devondre Sweat a year ago, but a guy that is certainly difficult to move and anchors in very well to clog rushing lanes. If you want to watch his film, I look back to games that aren't necessarily the Oklahoma game, the Alamo Bowl a year ago. He wasn't much of a factor in that game. Look more for Savea in that game, if you want to go back and rewatch what Arizona did and those interior defensive linemen. Savea was a little bit more active in that game. But Norton certainly helps Texas in that rotation. He will be that third or fourth interior defensive lineman right now. Of course, Texas still big game hunting right now with Jade Toya, who visited for the spring game out of UCLA. And, of course, Dominic Williams out of TCU, who will be on campus Tuesday and Wednesday this weekend in Austin. All in all, a very strong start in addition to the Texas interior defensive line room, someone that Texas absolutely needed to add to this group to feel comfortable all around with their team in 2024.
Yeah.
Dang, he looks like Jared Lorenzen. You know who that is?
I know the quarterback, right?
The quarterback from Kentucky.
The hefty lefty, yeah. Coach, you would love this guy's mustache. He's got a killer mustache. And he's going to be bringing it to the 40 acres, too.
Yeah, he's a grown man, right? He'll be a grad transfer, right? Correct. Yep. So he's got 1 year remaining eligibility. And if they get Jay Toya, someone else they're also targeting, he's also a grad transfer, correct? Is he also a grad transfer? Okay.
So they would each have 1 year of eligibility. Year. Dominic Williams would have two more, up to three potentially with a grad transfer. But, I mean, that's a guy that you expect to be in the NFL potentially after this year, after 2025, without a doubt.
Wow. Yeah. That's
okay. Time out. We got it, dadgum. Defensive lineman wearing a receiver face mask. What is up with that?
Hey, hey, coach. Sometimes they even wear single digits. Sometimes, you know, it's weird. It's crazy, man. It's wild. It's crazy. New era, coach. New era, man. New era for the big man. We saw a big man touchdown. We saw a thick six in the spring game. Big man.
Thick six.
That's what they call him, coach.
Thick six. I love it.
We saw a few of them in the fall last year, too. T Sweat caught him one. Byron Murphy. I mean, those guys get active. We got to up the celebrations. You know, that's the next step for these guys. Now that they're in the end zone, find that, that extra juice. Show the crowd off.
That's interesting. You're right. Because remember, didn't when Tom Herman here, was it? What offensive line? Was it Sam Cosmi?
Cosmi.
So, we got to start actually on the 40 acres taking some pride in big man touchdowns that we may have, like, you know what I mean? We should have one every year. We got to find a way to get a big man touchdown because we're on a little streak. That's pretty good. You know what I mean? We had last year, and then in spring football, we have another big man. Those are rare. And you had multiple big man touchdowns last year. I think, thick six, baby. Start. Make it happen. Get another big offensive line. And you know what? They got the big O-line, the 6-0 line package. All right? That big 12 package, they already got it. Malik Ogbo's already doing it.
That's right.
Big six, baby. Let's make it happen. I like that. All right. Let's get back to it. Hey, UT boy. Shout out to UT boy. Hey, we appreciate that, fam. That's no doubt. Love. All right. Thank you, UT boy. We appreciate it. Hey, and Jonte Cook, he is in that circle of trust, which we know now. I think I was right. They definitely going to expand that circle of trust a little bit, guys. That wide receiving core looked good. All right. Let's get right to it. We'll get to your questions. But we have an exercise here. I think I want to get to open up the spring football conversation. We love many, many drafts on this show. So I did propose another mini draft post the spring game. And this would be if you were making an all spring game team. All right. Which guys would you draft on your all spring game team who had the best performances, most standout performances in the spring game? That's basically the criteria. After that, do what you want to do. We could do five rounds. I'm down to do five rounds. I think it's enough guys that stood out to do five rounds. It's up to y'all.
I'm in.
All right.
Going to be a lot of offensive players taking off of that.
You're right, coach.
I can tell you right now, there, unfortunately, there may not be a lot of DBs, and I'm upset about that. Okay, we can talk about that later. All right. I don't know if there'll be a lot of DBs that go be drafted in this thing, but we'll see. All right, so that's what I thought there. And I'll go last. I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Depends on how you guys want to go in the order of the draft. That's between you guys. I'll let y'all settle that. And I'll go last. And then we can go snake style like we always do. Snake. All right. That's cool. Snake style.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So is it kosher to put the backup quarterback as your first draft pick?
Hey, because ain't no rules other than they stood out in the spring game. Long as they made some plays in the spring game, and you got it. Even if it was just one or two, it's all good. Because I'm with you. Those quarterbacks, and we'll get into it. Then they're deep.
Best quarterback room in the country.
Hey, ain't no. Find me one that's better. Just send me the three deep that's better than that. And
you
can't do it.
You got three NFL guys. Three NFL guys.
See, that's coach right there talking to you. See, that's it. Three NFL guys. And I agree with you, coach. Actually, I don't disagree with that at all. I really am. I'm on board with you. All right. Okay, so that's we'll do the draft real quick, and then of course we'll talk spring game. We'll take all your questions as well. All right, so who wants to go first? I'm going last in the draft. I'll go third. Which one of you guys wants to
coach?
First
go ahead. Pick?
Boom, coach. Because
you want me to go ahead.
You got coach. No, first overall pick.
You don't want me to go ahead because I'm going. I'm going Manning, number one draft pick.
That's easy. That's easy. Hey, come on, man. How can you beat that?
Well, that's unanimous, too. I don't think anybody's going to, you know, say no to that one. 355 yards, coach, in a spring game from your backup QB?
Come on. I coach, you've been watching a lot of Texas spring games. I don't remember any quarterback actually playing that well in one of the Texas spring games.
Well, either that or a defensive backfield that played so poorly. I'm not sure which. That guy's running wide open.
That's something too. See, I'm glad you brought it up, coach, because if I bring it up, people are like, man, Robbie, all he talks about is them DBs. Thank you very much, coach, for bringing it up. Because Bobby posed an interesting question when we were doing the live stream. He said, was it the offense that was just elite, the passing game so elite, or was the passing defense just that inept or dysfunctional? And I said it was a passing defense more than the passing offense. But I'm biased because I'm a defender, so I'm looking at the world a little differently, glass half empty. Most of y'all were looking at that game and loved it because it's a lot of touchdowns and big plays. I'm thinking to myself, man, they're not contesting anything.
I know.
Running wide open. All right, so there you go, coach. Number one overall pick. Arch Manning, 19 of 26. That's the number I got from LHN. 355, three touchdowns. Did have the one pick on the Hail Mary at the end. But, guys, he was poised. He looked like he was a three-year vet in the offense. He looked like he was a three-year veteran in the offense, guys.
He was tearing up zone coverage. If Arch Manning couldn't see the field and opponents come out and, you know, show a cover two or cover three look, I mean, good luck. Because the way that he was able to find holes in the defense and even check down at times, I mean, it was very impressive. To your point, Roddy, he didn't look like that was a guy who was really seeing his first extended live action inside of DKR. We've seen him for a series or two last year against Texas Tech. But, man, that was a really impressive showing from Arch Manning. So I guess what I'm up now. I'm gonna go with the 5-star wide receiver, freshman from St. Louis, Ryan Wingo. I mean, two touchdowns on the day, a number of big plays. He really showcased what we've heard out of the spring so far of him being a guy that's gonna be tough to keep off the field. It was an impressive debut, Ryan Wingo, to me, finding the end zone twice, one for a 55-yard touchdown, the other on the goal line. Easy pick.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I thought we thought that he was going to show up. I've been saying it for a while. Bobby has made the same comparison in terms of raw ability. It's the most physical, the best combination of physical traits at the wide receiver position for Texas since Roy Williams. And I think you got a sneak peek of it. I don't know if he's as big naturally as Roy. Roy was real big and thick, but he's better with the ball in his hands, and he was dynamic. So that's a great pick. That's who I was eyeing too, by the way, just so you know. All right, my pick, I'm going to go with, and I'm getting back-to-backs here. You know what, man? I'm going Trey Owens. I'm going young Trey Owens, man. 14-21, 228 yards, 3 touchdowns. The young man was slanging it. I said before the game, we were hanging out before the game, and I said at victory lap, and I told Bobby in the crowd, I said, y'all going to be impressed with this young man, Trey Owens. I'm telling you, he's got a nice arm, and he's confident. He's got swagger. It's a borderline arrogant, but that's kind of what you want. If you're sitting behind Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning, he believes in himself, and he's a hell of a competitor. Showed all those things out there, man. He's got some of that it quality. So I'll take young Trey Owens. That he showed up, and that was a nice showing, I think, by him. With my next pick, I'm torn here, guys. I'm torn here because I could go offense again, or you know what? I'm going to go with, even though he had some inconsistencies, I'll go with Isaiah Bond. I thought he showed enough with the 3 catches, 98 yards, 1 touchdown. I'll take him. He did have the drop. Probably should have had 2 touchdowns. Down on the goal line. Did have that drop on a beautiful throw by Arch Manning. A fantastic throw. But in terms of a guy that we're looking at, we're looking at him to be potentially the number one guy. I thought he showed enough. And I liked what I saw from him, being able to beat man coverage one-on-one.
Yeah, Rod, I actually thought that Manning pass to Bond in the end zone was the best throw Manning had all day, which is
beautiful. Yeah.
A bit of a statement there, considering it didn't feel like he had many off passes at all. So great day for Manning. I thought, like you said, Bond bounced back. We really saw Sarkisian try to get him and Nyblak going early in the second half. Yep. Neither of them did a whole lot in the first. And then, of course, this is the spring game. We got to see what these guys can do, at least get a glimpse. And we sure did on with a long touchdown, which if you ask Gavin Holmes, Rod, he probably should be looking back for a flag a little bit for the
face mask. Yeah. I don't know why Sark didn't call. Sark was actually overruling a lot of calls. He didn't call that one. That was pretty obvious too. I did see that. Yeah.
Get the fans excited. I can't take that one back.
That's true.
But for my second pick, I'm going defense and Syracuse Horn. I mean, I got to go with who you said right here. Colton Vosick to me, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. Was all over the backfield, was really, really active in terms of getting after the passer. I was really impressed. Again, just seeing him healthy. I've talked about it a little bit so far since the conclusion of the spring game, but just seeing him healthy, he adds so much speed and length off of that edge. It's a deep room, but after what we saw, I mean, it's going to be tough for me to imagine him not finding ways into the field with that rotation. So Colton Vosick for me with my second pick.
I like that.
Okay. I'm going with the big guys. I'm going with Kelvin Banks. Kelvin Banks off the board. Not great run blocking, but good pass protection.
Damn right.
Yeah. We didn't create a lot of space for our running backs, but we had great protection, and you got to have those big guys up front. My number 2 pick is Kelvin Banks.
All right, Coach. You're getting them You're getting another one. You're snaking it, right?
I got another one?
You sure do.
You got some back-to-backs.
My man, Alfred Collins with a touchdown. What?
I like that. Yeah. He was on my list, too.
Texas.
Yep.
I'm surprised he fell that far. Third round. I mean, that's a great value for a guy that scored a touchdown on the defensive side of the ball.
The thick
first
6, baby.
Of the game, baby.
Yeah, no, you're right. Thick 6. You're right. That shit. He shouldn't have fell that far. I know. I was thinking about going defense on that one. You're right. That's a good one. That's a good one. Y'all both went. Got y'all some defensive picks, and there ain't
it might
many
be a while until we see another defensive player pick, Rod.
That's what I say. There ain't many of them out there to be drafted in this situation. All right.
Third pick, I'm going tight end, another freshman. I like Jordan Washington. I really liked what I saw on Saturday. Of course, he had the big highlight play with him making that leaping catch over the middle and flipping over the defender and holding onto the rock. Really impressive hands. Looked like he was going up to grab a rebound in basketball, which he was a pretty talented AAU basketball player as well. But, of course, I think we saw a little bit of him with those design screens, which Sarkisian called – or I guess the Texas staff called pretty often in that game as well. Just seeing what he can do with the ball in his hands, really encouraging stuff. Jordan Washington to me, he's going to be a big-time tight end prospect for the Longhorns. He looks like he can bring it in the trenches and, of course, out in the routes, someone that you're going to have to keep a close eye on if you're an opposing defense. That's my third pick.
That's a good pick. I like what I saw from him. I feel better about the tight end position, actually, now than I did getting going into the spring game. I feel a little bit better about it. I do think it'll be, you have enough players to stabilize that position, and Jordan Washington looks really good. All right, my pick. Here we go. Oh man, there are some sleepers on the board that have been left out there. I hate to go too heavy on offense here. You know what? I'm going to go with one of the prodigies here, Colin Simmons.
Yeah.
We saw enough. That BGO coming off the edge. I got to go with young Colin Simmons, man. We didn't see a lot of it. We didn't need to see a lot of it to know that he's going to be a difference maker. I mean, now you're adding Vosick to the edge position. Guys, they are deep there. Even Sark said, Sark doesn't usually admit, Coach, that they're going to be good somewhere. And he said, yeah, we're going to have an edge rush now. They're going to be coming.
Yeah.
they need a NASCAR package, Coach. They need a NASCAR package on third and long where they put like three or four of them out there at one time. They do.
Hey, they do that. Rod, we'll get into this as we talk about the spring game a little bit more, but about Colin Simmons specifically, we saw him drop back in coverage pretty often, actually, in that first half, ranging into that third quarter a little bit. He obviously, we know what he can do coming off the edge, but to your point, getting that NASCAR package out, you could use him as an off-ball linebacker and kind of line him up in the middle of the field and use him as a, you know, just because of where he aligns. That's an extra blitzer on the field as a result. I'm not saying he's going to be full-time linebacker, convert to the middle or anything, but you know, if he's a guy that you can rely on at times to cover the flats consistently, that opens the book up for PK to be very creative with three or even four big-time pass rushers on the field at a time.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I think you can get really creative with those guys. And, you know, maybe having Johnny Nansen's a guy that got creative in his time there at Arizona. He's the co-DC now. He can have some of that type of influence on PK. They ran what is called kind of a quarters package where you run seven DBs out there. They had that. They had a five down lineman package at Arizona too. Maybe you'll get some very creative ways that PK will weaponize those guys. All right. My next pick, I'll go with hard day still on the board. UT board will be upset with me. I'm gonna go with Jonte Cook. Go with Jonte Cook off the board here,
baby. He was on my list.
I like what I saw. I could have went with another receiver too, honestly, but I like what I saw from Jonte Cook. And I figured if UT boy, if he dropped too far, UT boy would come on here storming and upset about the disrespect. we want disrespect you, UT boy. You family, baby. Appreciate that. All right, coming back.
Yeah, I'm sticking on the defensive side of the ball. And it's probably the last guy that I had on my list from that side. But, he's only been here for 4 months, and he made some big-time plays. Arizona defensive lineman transfer, Tia Savea. I thought what he provided in that interior line when he was on the field was exactly why Texas went out and added him. Texas did not have great success running inside between the tackles, and in large part because of Tia Savea. So welcome to Team CJ, fourth-round pick. I like it.
No, he was on my board. I scratched him off just now. Good job. He was right there. I was going there. He's one of my sleepers because nobody's looking at the interior D line, but my man CJ is.
Yeah.
All right, okay, Coach.
I'm going with wide receiver DeAndre Moore Jr.
That was great.
That's a great
guy. Guy wound up having three catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. He's not a guy we've talked about a whole lot on Football Theory, but I think he's certainly a guy that is worthy of a top pick and probably stood out a little more than some of the guys that we thought would be ahead of him.
Good stuff, Coach. I like that. You got another one. Your last one now, Coach. Your last one.
My last pick. That's tough.
I know. I got to sleep. I'm one of y'all taking my seat. This is going to be a good one. We're going to see if y'all are thinking along the lines I'm thinking. I got some good ones here. Oh, I got a nice sleeper.
Okay,
for you.
So my last pick is going to be that's tough.
Oh, I got a bunch of.
I'm going to Anthony Hill.
Okay.
Just really, it wasn't an unbelievable spring game for him, but I know what he can do, and I'm going with Anthony Hill.
Coach wants to stack his roster with the best players. He sees the draft about having it.
Yeah, Coach, I see some five stars on that list. I see you
coaches. I see a trend though, coaches.
That's how you build a winning team.
I know.
There was no draft Quinn at one point. I would take Quinn.
Yeah, he played like 8 snaps. I'm gonna draft Quinn Ewers.
Oh, I love it. All right, CJ. Good. That's a good. I like Coach's team, though. I wouldn't doubt if he ends up winning this thing. All right, yep. CJ, you'll go.
Nate Russ, I had to step out. Who got Jaden Blue? No one yet, but I'm going to take him right now.
Yeah.
That catch over the middle in the Texas route, I mean, very impressive. Mm-hmm. We know all about the speed. He made it so that he caught that ball in stride, a ball that was out in front of him a little bit. Great hands. I was able to watch him in 7-on-7 in high school. He looks like a wide receiver, but in the body of a running back. Great hands. Saw it on display. And, of course, catching that ball in stride. Not very often do you see running backs do that on a ball over the middle. And he just easily took it to the crib. That's a guy who has very high expectations for himself. And, of course, I feel like he's going to be a big part of this Texas offense. Jaden Blue, welcome to the team.
That's good. That's good. No, that was nice. I like that. All right. I could go a number of different ways here. There's some sleepers out there. I mean, there's an obvious one out there if I want to go the coach's route, because coaches stacking his draft with the best players on the team. I could go that route because there's definitely a couple of guys out there, but I'm not. I'm gonna go with a guy that showed out in the spring game and deserves a true shout out here. There's a couple of ways we can do it, some honorable mentions too, but I'm gonna draft I got too many receivers right now. I can't go with another receiver, or maybe I could. All right, you know what? No. I'm going to go defense. And this young man actually played a good game, and it shows you how deep they are on the edges. Tausili Akana.
Yeah, good pick.
He had 1.5 tackles for loss, had a sack too in that game. I'll go with Tausili Akana.
Played well for
a young guy.
If he can add some weight, man, we saw good flashes from him on Saturday. I was very encouraged by that.
Yeah.
He was a guy his senior year. He weighed in San Antonio for the All-American Bowl at 195 pounds. Ooh. A guy who was heavily recruited for the edge spot. You don't see those type of prospects that thin right now. He's still about 225, trying to get up to 230. Might be a year away, really. But, man, like you said, Rod, I mean, he was really active in the backfield, sack and a half, looking like another piece for that edge room that could really, really maintain a positive impact for the Longhorns moving forward.
Yeah. Some guys I was thinking about, I was going to go with Thatcher Milton, but I had 2 receivers already. I didn't want to go with 3 receivers, but Thatcher Milton, hey, walk on, showed out.
The chat was loving some Thatcher Milton earlier. Yeah.
He looked good out there, man. He was making some plays. Cole Lord deserves a shout out because we talked about the quarterbacks, but hell, there was a reason that Sark was giving Cole Lord a shout out before. Yeah, Thatcher's World, UT boy, you're right. Cole Lord was 8 of 11 for 72 yards and a touchdown. He had a great spring game for the quarterbacks. Ethan Burke was the one that actually tipped the pass, that the RPO pass that Alfred Collins intercepted and got the thick 6 touchdown. So Ethan Burke probably deserves a little bit of love, but he didn't play that much. There are some other guys, but you know, those are a few of the guys that I had on my list that weren't drafted. I thought it really had some really interesting and good spring games, some standout performance. Cedric Baxter too. He didn't play much, but yeah. I'll ask you this, since we're at 15 guys and lots of our best players now you mentioned strong squad. Yeah, and this is the beauty of the spring game, guys. Great draft there. Good stuff. That was fun. We always love the mini draft, and thank you guys for participating. That's the beauty of it, right? You saw this in the spring game, because the spring game is, you know, everybody gets to play. You got walk-ons playing, a true representation of the entire roster. And you saw where Texas was strongest and where they potentially could contend to have the best or the deepest position groups in the country. Quarterback. They're deep at quarterback. How do we know? Well, because the third-string quarterback, Trey Owens, was 14 of 21 for 228 yards and 3 touchdowns. The wide receiver, as someone says, Coach Shipley is the Bill Belichick of Texas spring team drafts. Oh, yeah, Coach. Hey, this coach is stacking talent, man. That's all it is about. But, Arch Manning, your backup, 355 yards and looked like a machine out there with the efficiency and the mastery that he had of the offense and operate the offense with. So wide receiver, at the edges, we talked about the edge position. You saw how deep Texas was on the edges. You got guys in the second half when your starters are well out of the game. Guys like Colton Bosick taking over the damn game. Basically unblockable for like a whole damn series. He killed the series, essentially. I think he got a sack and a tackle for loss and was unblockable, essentially, after that. Texas is really deep in a lot of positions. And I think you also saw where they may have depth, but they're not experienced yet in the secondary, right? You got depth, but you just brought in a lot of those guys in this latest recruiting class. They're early enrollees and guys they just brought in. So something that was a liability for you last year also showed this year in spring that maybe you're not where you need to be, but that was one of the last phases of roster construction for Texas was the defensive backfield. And I think that showed too.
Yeah, I thought there were enough. I don't know if there was enough big plays from that secondary to be happy with it.
No, not for me.
We've talked about it, Rod. You certainly want to see those balls on the ground. You don't want to see completions. You want to see the DB celebrating and high-fiving and doing a little bit of chirping on the field. That's what makes Texas DB so special, especially back in the day. Right now, that spring game wasn't necessarily the overall theme from what we heard about spring practice over the last 15 practices or so. The DBs had their fair share of wins in spring ball. And specifically a guy like Manny Muhammad, who was getting his hands on the football time and time again. We didn't see that necessarily on Saturday. He wasn't on the field very often. Jahdae Barron didn't play. Of course, Andrew Mukuba, not a whole lot of snaps. So I think the guys that you expect to see on the field in the fall look a little bit different than what we saw right now on Saturday with in terms of giving up those big plays. Of course, not the greatest sign, but in general, I'm not – pushing that panic button just yet when it comes to that Texas secondary room. Of course, this is the year that that group has to take the leap forward. You know, you have a lot of veteran talent. You got a lot of incoming, rising sophomore talent as well with Manny Muhammad and Derek Williams. This group has to be a strength now, and I think it will be with the complementary aspect of the edges getting pressure on the quarterbacks. As a result of that, they should offset and kind of help each other hand in hand there. But that film room – Sunday probably wasn't too enjoyable for a lot of those guys in that room.
All right. We'll get back to some spring football discussion. Also, the latest in the transfer portal story for Texas, transfer portal headlines. It give it, then it take it away. We talked about Bill Norton. We'll talk about a Longhorn departing via the transfer portal reportedly. But first, let's give a shout out to our sponsors. Let's talk about the carrotconcierge.com. Ladies and gentlemen, with Mother's Day coming up, you may be like me, looking for the right gift for the woman in your life. Make sure you check out the carrotconcierge.com. Jody Reynolds is a personal jeweler, and she is the Carrot Concierge. You can see some of her beautiful creations right here on the screen. You can use the QR code on the screen to see even more, or visit her on Instagram or her website, thecarrotconcierge.com as well. Jody's an Austin resident, a Texas fan, and her family listens to On Texas Football, so they're part of the On Texas Football community. Jody prides herself in providing personal service. She takes the extra steps to make sure your lady gets exactly what she wants, and because she doesn't have the overhead of a storefront, she often gets a higher quality inventory at low, low prices, as much as 30% less than what you see at a jewelry store. Jody has a number of different tennis bracelets, rings, necklaces, and more, all beautiful jewelry, all personalized for you and yours. Check out the carrotconcierge.com, visit her website, or give her a call or text and take care of that special someone in your life. Yes, don't forget about Mother's Day. And for Mother's Day, you also, maybe if you're thinking about doing something special for Mother's Day, our good friends over at Flat Creek Estate Winery also are having a special event for Mother's Day, and you can go over there at Flat Creek Estate Winery. Flat Creek just won 11 awards in 30 days, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is raking in awards, and it's just a few minutes away from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs. So now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek is also a gorgeous venue hosting events for the whole family all spring. Check out their website for wine tastings, chef dinners, and even make a reservation to visit the property for Mother's Day coming up. You can eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more information, please visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com. As a matter of fact, I am making some plans to go visit Flat Creek Estate again. I actually did get a chance to visit Flat Creek Estate Winery. It is fantastic. Tasted some of the wine, brought some of the wine home for my wife, who actually loved it. She loved the Super Texan. So I'd recommend Flat Creek Estate. Go check it out for yourself, flatcreekestate.com. And I'll give you my review once I go up there to enjoy the Mother's Day festivities. I just went to visit the place and visit the winery and see the property. They weren't even really open when we went, but me and Bobby went up there to see them and meet the management. They were fantastic. But the property is amazing. So I'd recommend it to anybody out there, flatcreekestate.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's get back to the transfer portal headlines here, gentlemen. It was reported earlier today, and this was Pete Thamel who actually reported this. Pete Thamel reported that the Texas tailback Savion Redd is expected to enter the NCAA transfer portal per his agents at AP Sports Agency. Redd has played in 21 games in two seasons at UT and ran last year for 131 yards and a touchdown. He's a former ESPN 300 recruit. All right, CJ. So if Pete Thamel is right here, and I don't know how official it is, I mean, these things sometimes take some time. If that is the case, what would be the number for Texas now with total transfer portal departures at this point in the spring window?
Yeah, so this will be transfer portal number 6 for the Longhorns this spring window. Oddly enough, if you look at the number of appearances on the field versus starts, it actually does not appear to be that big of a hit for the Longhorns. Of course, combining that with the guys that walked out or transferred out, in the winter window, really only Jaron Thompson and Keaton Crawford were those guys that had multiple starts under their belt. This group of six, with Savion Redd included, of course, according to Pete Thamel, 21 career appearances. A lot for Savion Redd. 0 career starts, however. So if you want to look at the impact that Texas is going to be without in 2024, this group not necessarily providing a whole lot of loss at the moment. Depth, of course, hurts, but this is going to be the sixth portal out from the Longhorns this spring, making that number – or bringing that number below 85 scholarship limit. That it was at 89 prior to the spring window opening up. Now you've lost 6. You're sitting right around 83, 84. Of course, with Bill Norton entering the fold from Arizona as well. I think this was expected. Texas fans probably a little upset by this. The Red Cat was a fan favorite a year ago. But, of course, with the steps that Trey Wisner has taken this year, we've heard about him in every availability so far, whether it be Sarkisian, Jaden Blue, CJ Baxter as well. Just everybody who's had something to say about Trey Wisner has said so in a positive light, very encouraging in the sense that he's probably going to be your running back 3 this year. And, of course, the Christian Clark and Jarrett Gibson coming in, still getting acclimated to the game, the speed of the college football game, they're going to be those 4 and 5 guys as well. So a bit of a loss, but not one that I think Texas is going to be feeling too much heat from this fall as a result of the depth that room currently has.
I guess my thought that he was going to be some modern version of a Kyle Juszczyk fullback for Sark, that is definitely not going to happen. Savion Redd moving on. He looked good at the end of the game, though, even with the extra weight that he had gained. Remember, he was a big reason why they were moving down the field. So wishing the best for Savion Redd if he's indeed moving on. Cisco Diaz right here in the chat has a question about Savion Redd. How much does losing Savion Redd change or hurt the offense? as CJ just broke down, I don't think it changes or hurts the offense much. If anything, your short yardage, if short yardage is still an issue and goal line is still an issue, he was one of your solutions. He was one of the options that Sark would throw out there in those situations. But your offensive line has truly taken a step, and they are better run blockers. And you got Cedric Baxter, who is a more of a power back and can run in those power situations. And, you know, hopefully now some of the other young guys, they can step up in that role. Certain guys are better. Coach, wouldn't you – and you let me know, Coach, if I'm wrong about this. Is certain backs just better in those situations? It's not always body type. Some guys, in terms of running and short yardage or goal line, is it been your experience that, you know, you can teach the guys that, or some guys kind of have that knack naturally being able to convert those situations?
Yeah, I think you can teach it to a certain extent, but I also feel like that it's either in you or it's not, you know. I don't think – I mean, I like Savion Redd. I think he was going to be a guy that, you know, was going to see some time. But, you know, I can't blame him. It's a great running back room, and, you know, the kid wants to get on the field now. I can't say I blame – I don't know that it hurts us a lot. You know, I agree that he had some flashes in, you know, towards the end of the spring game, but I wanted my red, white, and blue backfield. That ain't gonna happen. First of all, we ain't got a white, and now we ain't got a blue.
You got a red.
A red. All we got is blue.
Oh, you got blue.
That's okay. We'll go with it. We're gonna be all right. I wish him the best of luck. He's an outstanding young man, and I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I think he'll end up on his feet, and he'll be coveted by some school because he's got a lot of talent. Depends on where he wants to play to. So is now he a running back, or is he going to lose some weight and try to go to wide receiver? He came in as an athlete, then played wide receiver, then moved to running back. So
lot of weight to lose if that's the case. I mean, 240, that's not – don't see many wide receivers at 5'10".
Maybe that's why he's leaving. He maybe don't want to be a running back, but you're right. He likes to eat like a running back. So, yeah, man. I thought gaining that weight was intentional, but it was not intentional. I think now he might have just been enjoying the offseason a little too much. That's all right. Nothing wrong with
that. Sarkisian kind of shot that down pretty quickly. You know, he mentioned that with Kendra Blackshear and Sadir Mitchell earlier. He's like, you know what? Maybe they're a little bit bigger than we thought they'd be, or at least we don't want them to be that big. So for Sadir, for Savion, not great in that sense.
Yeah, not great in that sense. All right, let's get to a couple of the questions, and we'll get back to some spring football conversation. AJJ_sports. This was for you, Coach. Coach, what was something that stood out to you about the spring game that many people aren't talking about? Yeah, give me something people are not talking about that you thought as a coach was a very interesting aspect of the
Well, I don't know how many people are talking about it, but and you know, we discussed in our pre-show meeting that, you know, we're going to talk, you know, is it a good sign for the offense or a bad sign for the defense way we played, you know? And I know it was very entertaining for people, but people like to be entertained through the offense. But those of us who know football know that you win games with defense.
Come on now.
And so I'm concerned. I don't know that I'm not ready to, you know, to create a emergency situation, but I'm concerned about our defense. I mean, when you've been practicing against these guys for weeks. And I don't know if our offense threw some wrinkles in the spring game that our defense hadn't seen, but you shouldn't have guys running that wide butt open.
Wide open.
Okay, in a spring game.
I'm concerned. No, you're right, Coach. And like you said, they could have thrown some wrinkles at them, but still, they are concepts that these DBs, veteran DBs, should still be familiar with. They were just the first touchdown to DeAndre Morrison, a simple switch release. A motion to tight twins. They're in cover three. You're supposed to be reading number two. Number two at that time is DeAndre Moore, except he's reading number one, and his eyes stay on number one instead of reading number two. So he follows him, and Arch sees it. Arch just lets it loose. He's wide blank open, and that's just simply Terrence Brooks' eyes in the wrong place. The touchdown by Thatcher Milton was, remember, go watch it after Xavier Fields to me takes the wrong angle to the football. He's so upset with himself afterwards. He does that because he was there. His football instincts took him right where he needed to be. He knew he was in the right place, and he just took a bad angle, and that bad angle, it cost him right in front of him. And so after he's like, oh, no, I was there. I saw it. Maybe he's a little prematurely celebrating. He's about to get a pick, but he was right there. Go back and watch it. The Ryan Wingo scoring on Kobe Black, that was just – he just beat him on the nine route. So bad technique by Kobe there, not staying on the upfield shoulder. Gavin Holmes getting beat by Isaiah Bond for that 70-something yard touchdown. That was – I think the leverage was bad there by Gavin Holmes, but he did grab his face mask. Even the touchdown by Ryan Wingo, the other touchdown, the game-winning touchdown, also a switch release. DBs didn't communicate, miscommunication, so he left them wide open. So almost every touchdown, even the touchdown that Cole Lord threw, was a switch by the DBs, and Phil Simi was facing the wrong way. And he didn't face the quarterback. He was facing the wide receiver, and then the wide receiver ran in, and he let him get inside leverage, even though he was already inside defender, and they were tangoing that, which means they were playing inside outside, and he was taking the inside cut. So it's just simple. Like I said, I don't think Coach A did anything very elaborate. I mean, it was pretty simple concepts. The DBs just, they busted them, either technique-wise, eyes in the wrong place, or their fundamentals failed them at the wrong time. So it's concerning a little bit.
On the bright side, you know, when you're talking about that secondary, the guys that we're mentioning now, a little bit younger, you know, Xavier Filsonmi amongst that group. Kobe Black, a young guy who got some redemption later on with an interception. You don't hear that about a Derek Williams. You don't hear that about an Andrew Mukuba. I know they weren't on the field a whole lot, but to that point, they weren't the ones allowing a whole lot of plays, and we expect them to be those guys on the field for 75-80% of the snaps that we see in the fall. So, if there's reason for an optimism of that secondary group, you know, Manny Muhammad, he was tested. He was right. Jonte Cook made a great play on the one target that went his direction. Now Terrence Brooks, again, a little bit of a red flag in that sense, that a miscommunication and a cover three look, that should not be happening for a third-year guy that's been contributing his entire career. That should not be happening in a spring game. Does leave me some pause there with what that cornerback group looks like from a depth perspective. Of course, you have Manny Muhammad, you have Terrence Brooks, you have Gavin Holmes. Who's your fourth cornerback? Is that Jahdae Barron? Do you know that he can be that guy with the top-end speed to hang with guys like Isaiah Bond in the SEC? Right now, I don't know. Does Texas go out and add a guy at the cornerback position in this window? Right now, I don't think that's a bad idea. And it's one of those things where if you go out and you add a grad transfer guy who can fill into a role like Gavin Holmes, I don't think it's a horrible idea just to bridge the gap that 1 year for guys like Wardell Mack, Warren Roberson, Kobe Black, just to get their feet wet and then get them acclimated and get their ground running for them in 2025. But, I mean, if you lose a Manny Muhammad, and you start looking around in that room thinking who's going to be your two starting guys and who's going to be three and four after that, it might be a little concerning right now.
This is a good question by Nate. Nate Russ here says, Rod, how much of our lack of secondary can we blame on that mindset of making the offense look good for recruiting and the fan base? I would say Jerry Hamilton did say that was a great spring game for recruiting. Great spring game for recruiting. It was competitive. It ended on a Hail Mary, scored a lot of points. Not just scoring points, big plays, 275-yard touchdowns, a 56-yard touchdown. I mean, I think the defense allowed like five touchdowns that were like explosive plays. Even Jaden Blue's touchdown was like a 30-yard touchdown. I mean, they were just really exciting, explosive plays. And yeah, I'm looking at it, panicking, freaking out a little bit. And everybody's like, man, this is awesome. I'm like, yeah, but yeah. I got a big but there. Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams size, you know, Megan Thee Stallion size, but I want to throw in there. About the secondary, I'll say this. I mean, Sark's an offensive guy. So this program going forward is going to have an offensive, it will be an offensively centric identity. Always will be. There will be years where it's, I think, paired up with an elite defense as well. Hell, last year, your front seven was among the best in the country. And one day they'll get the secondary matched up with it and they'll have an elite defense to pair up with the elite offense. But right now, that doesn't shock me. They mentioned offensive. The program right now, the identity of it is offensive because your coach is an offensive coach. He's a former quarterback. He's a play caller, you got sakes, right? I mean, in a lot of his decisions, you know, even the way they built the roster, right? What they build first? Offense. He was like, no, give me my big humans on offense first. I want that first. That's what we're going to stack, all right? Give my quarterback. Let's give my quarterback first. Give me that. Give me Xavier. Like, they prioritized stacking that offense quick and then started building the defense. They just got to them DBs last, you know, a recruiting class. I'm like, yeah, let's get some of them DBs, right? Hey, JT Sanders, where's he going to play? He's playing offense. I already decided that. Like, that's – and nothing wrong with that, by the way. That's great. I just think that's really good. This is what – it helps recruiting. It makes your program sexy and exciting. Sark's offense helps recruiting because receivers watch it, people watch it, and it's aesthetically pleasing. They like Sark's offense. Longwood fans didn't like Greg Davis' offense. It was effective. They didn't like it. Y'all complained about it most of the time until VY started running the zone read, and they were like, oh, that's great. But it was that was because that was part of Greg Davis' genius, was that Greg Davis, he would change up his offense depending on the talent that he had available. And it was with Sims, it was pro style. With VY, he went with the zone read. And with my man Colt, it was more of a West Coast spread hybrid offense. That was the brilliance of it. So Sark's an offensive guy. So, yes, that there may be something true to that. But Sark did not express any – you let me know, CJ, you were there and coach. You might have seen it, too, on the LHN broadcast. He didn't express any concern about the secondary, really.
No, not as much as I thought he would. And I think more so to him, again, that's the offensive side of him coming out a little bit is, yeah, that's my group. They went out and did that. But as a head coach, you're now looking at it holistically. So, you know, the good and the bad come out in the spring game. Of course, you can't have positives without some negatives. You can't have explosive plays in the offense without thinking the secondary is going to be a big old, you know, smelly pile of whatever, you know. That's just how it goes. But, no, Sarkisian, again, pointed more to the interior defensive line as the biggest question mark for him. And, again, Texas is addressing that right now with the addition of Bill Norton earlier today, Dominic Williams out of TCU visiting this week, and as well as Jay Toya out of UCLA, who was on campus for the spring game and will likely make a decision at some point this week. That's what I'm expecting, and I think if that's the case, Texas is looking like the team to beat, of course, for Jay Toya.
Yeah, man, that would be that'd be Sark leaving, you know, basically exhausting all options to make sure that he's filling what he thinks is the big hole in the roster. And like I said, I think he knows he's got talent in the secondary. Once you add Jade Barron back to the mix, once you're playing most of those frontline guys together, and like you said, 70% of the time, the problem is they like to rotate. So if I am Coach Gideon, if I'm Coach Joseph, I figure out a way to, instead of just rotating a first team, a first group, and then a second group, you might want to, you know, put different combinations of players together who play well, a veteran that can help kind of stabilize the group instead of just playing, oh, this is the first team group, and then we're going to rotate a second group. Because if I'm a defense and I see that, then, you know, hey, I'm going to wait to hold out some of my special plays so that second group comes on the field, and then I'll torch them and light them up. I mean, that's I think you can do that if you're doing wholesale rotations instead of different combinations. And right, I mean, that's kind of what I would suggest because they're going to play a lot of guys. Sark has already said that, right, Coach? They're going to play a lot of guys. What are your thoughts, Coach?
I think it was entertaining, and that's what you want in a spring game. You want it to be entertaining for the recruits, for the fans, for TV, you know, all that stuff. But make no mistake about it. Sark is an offensive coach, but he knows that he can't win the national championship with defensive play like we had Saturday. He knows that. And I don't know if he's all that concerned about it. I don't know if they kept, you know, the secondary, if they kept the defense more plain vanilla. I don't really know. But I can promise you this: he's not going in, man, did we look good? No, he knows you've got to stop people. You cannot give up that many explosive plays in a game, in a real game. Yeah. He knows that, and that will be addressed. I promise you that. But it was what the people wanted. It's what the recruits wanted. It's what you know, we, you know, it's what the average person wanted to see, an exciting spring game, lots of big numbers, lots of stats, but there will be a lot of work between now and the 1st of September on defense, because you cannot compete at the level that we want to compete at with the way we played defensively on Saturday. He knows that. He'll address that. I have every confidence in the world with in the man that he will address it to the best that he possibly can. And I think the transfer portal, I think we're going to see a couple of more guys maybe come in to help out our secondary, because for whatever reason, we just gave up way too many explosive plays. Like I said, fun to watch, you know, entertaining, but that ain't going to win you championships, and we all know that.
Amen, Coach. And I'll say this. I think you might need to, depending on what's happening with Jalen Gilboa. I thought Jalen Gilboa, you know, played okay. I don't know how confident they are in him. But depending on what's going on with Jalen Gilboa at nickel, depending on how deep you believe you are at safety with Derek Williams, with Taff Daddy, you know, with Makuba, do you like Jelani McDonald? You really do need to consider moving Jahdae Barron to the corner opposite Malik Muhammad. Depending on how much you believe you can trust, because if you think you can trust Terrence Brooks and those guys out there, then you're good. But that might need to be an option for you just in case. And then you figure out which, maybe it's Makuba going to nickel, and then it, you know, putting, you know, Taff Daddy, Derek Williams, Jelani McDonald at safety. I don't know exactly what your combination is going to be, but it's something you might need to consider if you can't, because you gave up two big. You gave us some big chunk yardage plays out there.
Rod,
at that corner spot.
A year ago, say around the time of the Texas Tech or Oklahoma State game, were you ever considering benching Terrence Brooks?
No. Not last season, because I don't know if his I don't know if he was the issue for the secondary. I mean, they had a lot of issues. I don't know if he was the central issue. I'm just saying, if you do get inconsistent play there, it should be an option. I like Terrence Brooks. I think Terrence Brooks is a really good player. But I'll admit, at this point in the spring game, I was a little surprised to see him give up that easy touchdown.
I was too. I asked because, yeah, I think, you know, following the Washington game and following what we saw on Saturday, there's been kind of rumblings that, again, I think, yeah, the Texas secondary is still figuring things out. We saw a lot more of cover three with a single high from, yep, that secondary than we've seen in years past. We've talked about the match quarters that Texas likes to deploy with PK. Again, I don't think you saw your top group out there at any given, yeah, point for a long stretch of play. And that one stretch where Terrence Brooks allowed the miscommunication and it ended up being a 75-yard touchdown, it's a new look. You know, that cover three isn't what we normally see from Texas all too often. Now, it can't be something that recurs a lot. But again, a year ago, Terrence Brooks was probably your best cover corner on a consistent basis, allowing, yeah, 41% completion when targeted, 219 yards on the season, only 96 after the catch. So it's not like he's out of position. And when, yeah, he is out of position, that guy's getting brought down to the ground quicker than he's not. So I'm pushing the brakes on the secondary, because I do think it will be – again, complimented a little bit by that edge rush. But again, the minute that I start seeing a Jahdae Barron back on the field with Andrew Makuba, with a Derek Williams next to him, and then Manny and Terrence on the outside, that's really when you'll start to understand what this group can bring, more so than just kind of plugging and playing, oh, let's throw Taff out this week with Gavin Holmes up the field, and, you know, let's go try Jalen at nickel on this one. You know, it just felt kind of mixed and matched a little bit, rather than a true idea of what we'll see in the fall, which was probably the one position that we didn't necessarily see, maybe aside from a linebacker with David Benda not playing all too much. We didn't see, you know, what we will see in the fall on Saturday from that group.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. That's a good point. Here's a question here from 817, Mr. Talk Too Much. Best play, 3rd and 19, Trey Owens, man. yeah, that was a 3rd and 22 that he also converted to Thatcher Milton. That was a really nice
play. That was a pretty ball.
That was a beautiful ball. It was like
back foot. Yep.
Yeah, it was. Oh, that was really nice. I'll say that. Here's the question: favorite play in the spring game, just individual play for you guys. Favorite, ooh, play, Coach, or just say one, that one play you're like, man, that's my favorite play in the spring game.
What was it? Was it Archie's first pass he threw?
Yeah, DeAndre Moore touchdown. It, yeah, was.
Bam.
Anyway, bam. Yeah. Bam. Yeah. Yeah, it was, nice, that was like too good to be true. It's like, you telling me first play of a spring game, he's going to throw a 75-yard touchdown? It's like, what is this, man? It's like, sorry. That's why I do wonder if they set my man Terrence Brooks up for failure. If all practice, if all spring long, they've been running that play, coach, and then they usually throw it right to that guy running that over route there, that Matthew Golden running that over route, and they just they got him. They did him dirty. I wonder if they did that because it seemed too good to be true.
Hey, you did. Hey, I will say this, Rod. I think that CJ will probably agree with me. You did win the crazy prediction for spring game.
Oh, easily.
You did win that. I think any doubt about that, Trey Owens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was dealing. He was, man. I knew he was gonna look good. I know he would look that good. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm not saying I called that shot, but I knew he was gonna impress. He went way above and beyond. But I would say so did Arch. I mean, to exceed expectations, with expectations being as high as they were for Arch, that was pretty amazing. CJ, your favorite play in the spring game?
To me, there were two. It was the C.J. Baxter catch and run on the sideline. Oh, on the drop down.
That was mine. You stole mine. That was mine.
That was a good one. Wow, that's year two for C.J. Baxter. We've talked about the growth from freshman to sophomore, and in some cases we'll see it again from sophomore to junior with a couple guys. But, you know, just added that weight. He looked much more compact. He looked more physical, ran with a lot of balance and explosion. That's what you want. That was the five-star coming out of him a little bit on Saturday. The other one to me was that Jordan Washington catch over the middle, getting flipped upside down, holding on to the rock, and getting up and celebrating. Also on Texas Football has heard that his little injury, he got dinged up a little bit at the end of the game, got rolled up on, nothing too serious. A good sign there. Should be rolling into May workouts and summer conditioning just fine. So nothing to worry about for Jordan Washington there. That was a very impressive play for me.
Yeah, that was good. Climbing the ladder. That was good. So my set, that Cedric Baxter play was so impressive. I mean, it was Baron Sorrell, I believe Jalen Gilbo, and was it Leonga Lafau? I believe there's three different guys, and the angle they all three had on you, if you pause that angle, you think there's no way in hell that this dude is going to break free and get a first down. And not only that, he breaks three tackles and then goes to the second level and then has Taff Daddy there waiting for him and then just trucks Taff Daddy. I love me some Taff Daddy, but he laid the hammer on Taff Daddy. And Taff Daddy ended up stopping him. That's all. He hung on for help. That's all that mattered. But that one play to me, I'm with you, CJ. That was one for me. I'll go a different one then. Since we're looking at different plays, I'll go with the Ryan Wingo first touchdown. Mm. I mean, that was pretty exciting. That first touchdown was impressive. It showed off a lot of his skill set as a player. We probably should just go thick six though. Alfred Collins, how often does a big man get a touchdown? So
yeah,
interception return. That's probably that should have been considered the play of the game. No doubt about it.
He almost spiked the ball before he got across the end zone. Right there. I guarantee you. I mean, let's celebrate everything, spring game, everything's fun. When we're going to sit down and watch the film, somebody's going to get a lecture on that deal.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of the thick sixes that we saw a few years ago, I mean, does Texas have that guy right now, Rod, coach, that from the defensive side of the ball that could act as a faux fullback like we saw with Byron Murphy and Devondre Sweat a year ago? Who's catching that pass on the leak bootleg in the back of the end zone? Is that an Alfred Collins this year?
Man, he should be athletic enough to do it. His mom was a basketball player, right? Didn't mom like a basketball player?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right?
Dude, he should be nimble.
Hey, he looked good. He ran like a dang tight end.
I was saying, he's the one. Didn't he play basketball in high school? He should be the guy. It should be him.
You saw the one-handed catch, that interception against Colorado.
Yeah, it should be him. Dancing bear, man. It should be him out there. You know? No, this should be the year for Alfred Collins. This should be the year for him, man.
I'm with you.
He's got all the raw tools, the raw measurables. If he has a big year, his frame and his size will do the rest. NFL scouts will just look at him and they'll start salivating, man. That dude, he's definitely a first off the bus kind of guy. All right, let's get to a couple of other questions here. And comments. This was an interesting one. I don't know if we saw it in the spring game. Maybe I got to go back and watch. AJJ_sports. We discussed this, and I'm not sure who it is. Off topic, but CJ, Who is going to take Jordan Winnington's spot as the best blocking wide receiver on the team? We discussed this. Did you see any signs that you're going to have a dog like that amongst this wide receiver group? That's really impressive. But do they got somebody who wants to block like a Jay Witt on the run plays?
Listen, Jay Witt and Coach, you'll talk about this here in a sec. I'm going to ask you. Jay Witt's a one-off kind of guy when it comes to that. You know, it takes wide receivers a long time to understand the desire to want to block. You know, it took A.D. Mitchell almost 6 weeks, really, for him to touch a guy in the secondary on those long runs. Again, I don't know who it's going to be right now. I'd like to think it's a guy like Matthew Golden. I'd like to think maybe Isaiah Bond has some of that in him, but I think those are two of the guys that you'll be throwing those underneath routes to pretty often. I'm not sure what you'll see from Jonte Cook in that regard. I think he wants to do it. He's just never been asked to do it. Of course, at DeSoto, he was that number one guy. He actually had a holding call in the spring game as well that negated a long Trey Wisner run to the outside. So who is – I don't know. Will Ryan Wingo be that guy with the physical frame that he has?
He does have
again.
It.
The other question is, how often were these guys asked to do so? You know, Jordan Whittington had a little bit of that in him as a running back because he had to pass protect at times.
Yeah.
I don't know who of that group right now has that physicality in the group. It's going to be something that you'll see early. Colorado State, when Sarkisian throws those quick early screens, one, who's it going to? And two, who are those lead blockers? I think you'll see a lot of Isaiah Bond and Matthew Golden as your lead guy out there right now.
Yeah, I think that's still remains to be seen, but I just love the fact that we have a Jay Witt that set the example for our team. Somebody will see that because that's going to make Jay Witt some money. Yeah. Jay Witt may or may not be drafted, but he's going to play in the league, and I think he'll play for a while because he is selfless, and that's very rare in the NFL, and it's even rare in Power Five football. It really is. I mean, everybody wants to be the star. Everybody wants to be the GOAT, but nobody wants to do the grunt work, you know. And I don't know who that'll be. I'll tell you another name, Livingston, you know, the freshman wide receiver from the Metroplex. They tried to get him the ball a few times. He played quite a bit. He's got great speed. I see him as being a fairly complete player. He might be one of those guys, you know, not that I've seen it, but I just know the program that he came from and the type of player that he is, he could be one of those guys step up and do that. But regardless, I'm just so thankful that we had Jay Witt last year and all the film on him, and guys go, you know what? That dude got invited to the Senior Bowl, you know, probably because he was such a selfless player and was a great blocker. And just hustled all the time. And I don't know who it's going to be yet, but somebody will step up, thankfully, because we have a great example of how a hustling wide receiver can win you a game without the ball in his hands.
Yep.
Great point.
Yeah, it's good stuff there, Coach. All right, a couple of things I want to talk about, guys, before we get out of here because we're getting close to the end of things. Peter Burns, who hosted the pregame for LHN for the Texas Longhorn spring game, and he works for SEC Network and does stuff for ESPN. He's actually really good at his job. But his takeaways, he tweeted this out, biggest takeaway in Austin this weekend. The Texas Longhorns have the best QB room in the country, two QBs that could win a Heisman in that offense. No quarterback controversy nor competition yet. Also, development of Arch over a year is exactly why he picked Texas. I went as far as to say Texas has two starting quarterbacks, and you know, thank God they got Quinn, 3-year starter, but they got Arch too. Peter Burns is going so far as to say, Coach, two QBs that could win a Heisman in that offense, and he's talking about Quinn and Arch. Obviously, we didn't see much of Quinn because that's the way that Sark set it up. All right, what are your thoughts, Coach? Are we overreacting? Is this Arch in the Heisman conversation already when he does get the starting job? Or is this the kind of future that Longhorn fans should be excited about?
Well, I would say if you look at the future of each one of them, Arch has a better chance of winning the Heisman than Quinn. Has, you know, obviously one more year to do it. I don't know that Quinn is going to be that elite. I mean, he's He's certainly one of the best we've had in a long time. He's certainly going to be a high draft pick. He's certainly going to have a long career in the NFL. But, guys, Arch is different. Arch is just different. I mean, he – and I just love everything about the maturity of that guy, the wisdom that his family brings. They go, it's okay. Just wait your turn. It's going to be okay. One of the worst things you can see for a quarterback, especially in the NFL as a rookie, is being thrown in like Colt McCoy was in Cleveland in 2010 or whatever to a starting role when you're obviously not ready, you know, and yeah. It can be a career killer. And, you know, you look at Garrett Gilbert, he was thrown in the national championship game. Mm-hmm. He wasn't ready. Nope. He just wasn't ready. And so I just love the fact that we have that maturity, the wisdom from that family that knows it's okay. Just wait your turn and everything's going to be okay. So I think Quinn will certainly be in the mentioned for a Heisman. There's no doubt about that. But I think if you look at the two, that, you know, Manning is the guy. He's the guy who has the best shot of those two to win a Heisman, in my opinion. But I'm not so sure we don't have three potentially at some point. I mean, we got a third one that's going to be a dang good quarterback, I hope, for the Longhorns.
But yeah. That's a good question. Hope for the Longhorns.
He made a believe right of me, Rod. You already knew it. You already called your shot. But I agree, man. We got the deepest quarterback room in the country, no doubt. It's just hanging on to those guys. And I love the fact that Arch is a great role model for those younger quarterbacks as well. Just take it. It's okay. Just wait your turn. Keep developing. Be ready at any time, you know, to go in and win the game.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. And it's the future is bright. I'll just say that because I'm with you, Coach. The mastery he had of that offense and the efficiency in which he operates in the pocket, the efficiency in which he operates the offense, getting rid of the ball on time, in rhythm, the anticipatory ability to get the ball out. He didn't look like he had any chemistry issues with the new wide receivers. He is next level, and the poise that he has under pressure. I mean, I know it's just a spring game, but you saw bits of that when was that the Tech game that he played. You saw some of that. He's built different. He's a man. He looked like a Manning. That's the best compliment I can give him. He looked like a Manning, and he did not disappoint. All right, before we get out, let me give our sponsors another shout out because we really appreciate all their support. First of all, the carrotconcierge.com with Mother's Day on the horizon. You may be like me, looking for the right gift for the woman in your life. Make sure you check out the carrotconcierge.com. Jody Reynolds is a personal jeweler, and she is the Carrot Concierge. You can see some of her beautiful creations here. You can use the QR code on the screen to see even more or visit her on Instagram or her website, thecarrotconcierge.com as well. Jody's an Austin resident, a Texas fan, and her family, they listen to On Texas Football, so we appreciate them being part of this community. Jody prides herself in providing personal service. She takes the extra steps to make sure your lady gets exactly what she wants, and because she doesn't have the overhead of a storefront, she often gets higher quality inventory at lower prices, as much as 30% less than what you see at a jewelry store. Jody has a number of different tennis bracelets, rings, necklaces, and more, all beautiful jewelry, all personalized for you and yours. Check out the carrotconcierge.com, visit her website, or give her a call or a text and take care of that special someone in your life, especially coming up this Mother's Day. Also, since we're talking about Mother's Day, I may be headed to Flat Creek Estate Winery for Mother's Day. Still working out some of the details, but Flat Creek just won 11 awards in 30 days, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is raking in awards, and it's just a few minutes from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs, so now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek is also a gorgeous venue hosting events for the whole family all spring long. Check out their website for wine tasting, chef dinners, and make a reservation to visit the property for Mother's Day coming up. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more information, please visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com. You can see the venue there. It is, I will attest personally, just going out there to visit, it is a magnificent venue. And they are fantastic folks out there. They're doing everything first class. Shout out to the folks at Flat Creek. I'm going to try to go out there for Mother's Day with my new mother in my life, my wife, and also my mother that's coming in town. So that's the plan. But I just went out there and I brought some wine home. My wife loves the Super Texan, which is fantastic. They've got a lot of great wines. Go check it out at flatcreekestate.com.
All right, Ross. You're going Flat Creek for your Mother's Day. I'm going with a carrot concierge for my. I guarantee you, I got it. The carrotconcierge.com, baby. I'm getting on there. I'm getting my wifey a good Mother's Day present, baby. What, CJ, are you married, CJ?
Coach, come on.
Well, you know,
he's in Vegas right now. He's in Vegas. Sponsor,
you know, one of the sponsors of On Texas Football is the man. What do they call it? The man.
Manscaped.
Manscaped. You Manscaped. May want to go to Manscaped.
So y'all are going on dates and buying jewelry, and I'm over here.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, I got dibs on the carrot concierge. Robert's got Rod Baber's got Flat Creek. CJ's got the Manscaped.
Hey, no, because CJ's in Vegas right now. That's how dead on you are right now.
You can't see him.
You look like you're in a dang dorm room.
Look at him. That is right there, bro. Look at that casino in the background, man. That dude.
Yeah, spring ball wrapped up. I'm getting out of here, coach. I mean,
progressive gambler, Mr. Vegas.
That's why we got to wrap it up. CJ got things to do, man. CJ's balling this weekend. All right. Okay, real quick before we get out of here, I want us to do one more exercise. I would like to rank the positions based on talented depth, how talented the depth is, because we saw that quarterback, you saw that wide receiver. Is quarterback the most talented room at Texas and in the country, potentially? When you talk about talented depth because of Quinn Ewers, because of Arch, and we just saw Trey Owens, is that the number one room, not only at Texas, but also in the country? And then we start there?
No doubt.
I think so. I mean, you have what? The number one quarterback in two of three classes on roster right now behind one another? I mean, Quinn Ewers was what? The perfect quarterback rating, a 1.00. That's only happened six times ever in the recruiting services. And Arch was in that same category until – you know, a week or two before he ended up signing. I don't know why that dropped at all. But again, to have that plus a guy who won the Houston area offensive MVP at a school at like Cy Fair, which doesn't produce big time offensive line talent, that just kind of speaks to the kind of guys that they have in that room right now. Of course, and they've done that for the most part out of the high school recruits. You know, Oregon has a nice quarterback room. Ohio State has a nice quarterback room. Their top-end guys don't compete with a Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. And what we saw from Trey Owens, I'm not too surprised down the road if he's in that conversation as well. So right now, I really like this room. I don't think there's a group with the top-end, high-ceiling ability like Texas across the country.
Yeah, I agree with that. What's the second most talented position group on the 40 acres and behind quarterback, coach? What is it, talented depth-wise, from what you saw?
Well, I'm gonna let you take the edge, guys, because I'm gonna take the offensive lineman.
That's good.
I'm gonna tell you. I mean, that, you know, there wasn't anything out there that was just, you know, just blow the doors off of you, you know, in the spring game. But those guys are consistent. They're steady. The thing about it is, you can throw wrinkles in the passing game a lot easier than you can throw wrinkles in the running game. They've seen those same runs, and we don't have a lot of runs. We got inside zone, outside zone, duo. Counter Trey, I mean, you know, we got – it is what it is, and those guys have seen it, and, you know, all spring long. I didn't expect us to have a great running game in the spring game just because you've gone against them for three or four weeks in a row. But I still think those guys and their goal is to win the offensive line of the year or the Joe Moore – is it Moore? Joe Moore?
Joe Moore Award, yeah.
That's their goal, and I think very – attainable goal for them, but you know, being an offensive guy, I'm going with the offensive line as a whole.
good pick.
CJ, you agree with Coach? And if you do, what's the third most talented group behind the O-line and quarterbacks?
I agree. I agree with offensive line at two. Again, you returned four starters from a year ago, and the other guy coming in had a top 25 start against Kansas State at right tackle, looked good in the spring game. That, to me, is the second unit on this roster. Third, I think you look at that running back spot, even with the departure of Savion Redd. Again, C.J. Baxter looks like he's filled out. He looks like a more physical runner. The question is, can he stay healthy? But you do have Jaden Blue right behind him, who we know Rod has that elite speed. He's one of the fastest players in all of college football with the ball in his hands. And again, we've seen what he can do in the passing game. We saw it on Saturday with that catch over the middle on the Texas route, finding the end zone. He's added weight to his frame to run in between the tackles more efficiently. And guys like Trey Wisner, Christian Clark, and Jarrett Gibson add to what you can have from that group from a depth perspective as well. So I love their running backs. And I think that that group in the backfield is special, especially behind that offensive line. They're going to put up some numbers.
Are we sure that the defensive ends, the edge rushers may not be a deeper position, maybe even than running backs or wide receiver? Are you in agreement that the running backs are the deepest position talent wise, or could the edge rushers make a claim, or could the wide receiver position make a claim?
Yeah, I personally would say the edge rushers number three and the wide receivers number four. But you know that those guys are running so wide open. I mean, you know, it's hard to say, oh, great route. I mean, I was uncovered, you know. But I'm just glad nobody picked the DBs in the top three because I didn't see that.
No,
I agree with CJ. I do love a running back room, but I think our edge rushers are very deep. And and then I would have to follow them up with the receivers for sure.
First world problems we're talking about here, gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right.
These rooms are really, really deep. And I think Longhorn fans are really excited about what they saw in the spring game. All right. Good stuff there, Coach. We appreciate all of your knowledge. CJ, don't have too much fun in Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
It's a work trip.
Yeah, you'll put it to work, all right. But thank you to Matthew behind the scenes. My man Matthew always doing great work behind the scenes. It wouldn't happen without him, so we appreciate him. And we appreciate all of you guys for joining us. Of course, the family continues to grow, the On Texas Football family, is because of you guys. Remember, we'll be back on the winning drive. We'll be back on Thursday, 4:15 to 5:30, we'll be back on for the winning drive. Coach Shipley, when's the YouTube post? See, Coach Shipley knows. Coach Shipley knew he's got to bring the star talent in there, and then everybody was going to say, well, Coach Shipley's got the best draft. But we're talking about, see, you know, he knew it. Look at him.
I'm going to start cabbage patching in a minute, baby. Way before CJ's time.
I was going to say, I didn't even know Coach knew about the cabbage patch. See, there you go.
What are you talking about, man?
See, I didn't know that. I apologize, Coach.
That's you look like a cabbage patch, you dance like a cabbage patch.
See, we learn something new about Coach every show. All right. We'll talk go-to dance moves on another winning drive later on. Buffer Coach Bob Shipley, for my man CJ, for the On Texas Football family. Shout out to our good folks at Flat Creek Estate Winery. Shout out to the carrotconcierge.com as well. Go check that out. Yeah, Coach got motion, man. Hey, Coach still got it. He still got it, man. Ain't no doubt about it. All right. Thank you guys for all of your participation. Thank you guys for joining us. And until next time, hook 'em.